Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Three Guys, One Up. I'm Keith, sitting here with David and Spencer. As per usual, what's happening, boys?
What's going on?
Hey there.
Today we're here to do our usual thing and talk about some video games and shit. So, I kind of wanted to start off by digging right into asking you about Mafia, Spencer, because I've been itching to hear about this game. I've watched a couple of streams of it, and it looks fucking phenomenal, but I kind of want to hear a first-hand account of how that game is and how this new remastered definitive edition is holding up on some of these, because you're still running the 1070. We haven't lucked out on any 3080 action yet, but...
Yeah, so I'm running the 2070 Super.
Yeah. So it should still be running it pretty decently.
It looks fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks like, I honestly don't know how it could look any better with a better card. I'm hitting, what, like 110 FPS with this card already at 1440p. And it looks fucking phenomenal. Like, I really don't know. Like, it doesn't do it justice just to say it. Like, you really need to go and check out this game. Like, it looks fucking beautiful. They could not have done a better job rebuilding the graphics from the ground up.
Yeah, just driving around, the cars in the city just look so crisp and clean.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks phenomenal. The gameplay is still Mafia. It feels a little dated from being a, what do we say, 17-year-old game.
Yeah,
something like that, maybe even a little older.
Yeah, you get that same feeling when you go back to, like, we have all these like Halo remastered and stuff, and you can't like crouch and do shit in Halo. You can't like move forward and crouch at the same time. There's these certain things that in these older games that just weren't a standard like they are now. Like, you play these run around the city shoot 'em up type games now, and there's a lot of standards that you're jumps and rolls and stuff are all pretty standard between them, but Mafia was one of the first ones, so it is going to feel dated, I'm sure, in those controls.
Yeah, so the controls are better. Like, you know, everything feels pretty fluid. I don't have any issues with that. The story is still fucking fantastic. Right. I think that's the whole reason to play it, honestly, is the story is just good. Yeah, I've just been having a lot of fun with it. I'm only a few hours into it so far, but I have no complaints so far, other than, like I said, the gameplay feels like it was, you know, a game from the early 2000s.
Yeah. Which, like you said, is kind of put on the back burner when you're going through all the great new graphics and, like you said, the incredible story. So, well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that that game's holding up. I still haven't pulled the trigger on it. I've been doing a bunch of other gaming on other stuff, but I'm glad one of us got to get down on that because it needed to happen.
Yeah, I picked up the trilogy, actually. So once I finish the first one, I'll give 2 a playthrough again, and I never had a chance to play Mafia 3, so I'll approach that one for the first time.
Yeah, for sure. Keep us updated on how those are going, for sure. Moving on, I wanted to talk about this past weekend. We were able to get an Among Us game going, and I kind of just wanted to go over some of that with you guys, because that was a fucking blast. Like, I had such a good time. We had, at one point, we had like one too many people. We had 11 people, so we had a person sitting out for a couple of rounds, but it worked out really well. We had a whole group going, and it was just a lot of fun. David was in on some of that. You were one of the first imposter.
I was the imposter. Yeah, I was the imposter twice in a row. Once with Laura, and then again alone. And I came very close to winning. You guys beat me with the tasks.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, when you got it alone, but didn't you and Laura win as a duo?
I think we did. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
That game is so much fun. There's going to be some shouting and talking over each other when you're on Discord, especially. But it's all a good fun. Everybody's having a good time. Like, you're calling people out, but it's a fucking game, and it's great. I like the group that we had going.
Yeah, and I think that it would we all had a good time while we were doing it. It wasn't just, you know, kind of one of the standard games. There were like pretty exciting moments, you know. And maybe it's just because it's still a new game, but I definitely had a really good time playing it.
Yeah, for sure. And everybody
definitely I think it's definitely best enjoyed with people you know. If you can get a full lobby with all people on Discord that you all know each other, you don't have anybody coming into the game to fuck around and you know, just be fucking stupid. It's a lot of fun. I can't recommend that enough.
The game is great, or the game is good when you're playing with some randos and just going in and playing it like a normal video game. But yeah, Spencer's definitely right in that if you have the ability to get 10 people into a game together, we did it with like our spouses and stuff. So we had 3 or 4 couples in that game. That took up a lot of room, and then you just got to kind of fill in here and there. So I don't know, even if your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband aren't into video games that much, this is kind of different. This is like a board game night. This is getting together for a game night. It is something different for sure.
Well, and it's like a really straightforward game.
Yeah, and able to social distance with it as well. Like if you have a computer and a phone in your house, you can sit there on Discord and somebody on the computer, somebody on a phone, and play this game with a bunch of other people. You don't have to sit in a group of 10 people to actually play it. So, I mean, if you're itching for like a board game night, something like this it definitely scratches that itch.
Yeah, definitely. I had a blast. Like I said, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, Laura's super into it. She was really good as imposter a couple of times. But yeah, she had everybody played pretty well there for one game I remember specifically.
Yeah, she ran through the whole fucking thing, killed everybody, and won the match. Like, and nobody suspected her until the game was over.
Yeah, you were saying, she was even telling us before we started that she had just been like binging it for days, like sitting there supposed to be working, and you're just getting a quick game of Among Us.
I'm pretty sure she's playing right now while we're recording.
It's good, like I said. So it's still good even playing with randoms, but yeah, getting a group together, that's where that game really shines. I had a ton of fun, and everybody that played with us too. I've had multiple people. Josh Douglas called me up and he was like, man, that game was fucking fun. We gotta do that again sometime. So we should plan on it sometime again soon. We have our Discord set up, so if you guys got a group that wants to play and you don't have a Discord, come join Discord. Well, we got some voice chats for you. But yeah, other than that, I don't know if there's anything else to say about Among Us. We spent a couple of weeks on this one, and I just wanted to revisit because we actually had the chance to have a big group playing it, and it was quite the thing. It was a lot of fun. Next time we're gonna have to get Mystic in there too, David. I think she would just have a blast.
Yeah, I'll guilt trip her into getting in there.
Yeah, she could just sit on her phone too. I mean, that's what Chansey's girlfriend was doing too.
Same with Laura. She was on her phone. She had Discord set up on her laptop with a little headset in, but she was playing the game on her phone.
Yeah.
Why not use the laptop?
It's a Mac.
Oh. So it's garbage.
It's a very expensive garbage, I'll have you know.
And again, this game is free on mobile, so that is another thing. It's only $5 on Steam, but if you don't want to pay $5 even, it is free on mobile, so worth it.
Yeah, I caught one of Mystic Sisters playing it on her phone earlier today.
Nice. Yeah, my wife was telling me that in her Zoom classes, she's a teacher, she has what's called like breakout groups or something. So you send the kids into different groups and they're just using Zoom as like a communication channel for Among Us, basically. So she'll like be jumping between the groups and she'll come into somebody's group and she can hear them all like deliberating who was the killer and shit. So this is sweeping through the mobile gaming scene for sure. But yeah, enough of Among Us. Let's move on. David, I know you wanted to talk a bit about Magic today. What you got for us?
So yeah, I mean, this is a primarily card game, but it applies to video games because it does have an online arena's a pretty robust. But whatever. The point is,
frankly, I mean, to that point, David, I would say that Arena is basically the only way people are playing Magic right now anyway.
Yeah, you're probably right. But so point is, Magic just released line of special sets, right? There's a few of them coming out. Do you know how many, Spence?
Oh, man. So we're talking about Secret Lair, right?
Yeah, Secret Lair.
So Secret Lair is this new product line that they've been doing for 10 months now. Oh, I don't know when exactly it started. Within the past year. Where they are reprinting, you know, certain cards with exclusive art, foil, stuff like that. You order it. You can only order it for a 24-hour period, and then it goes away forever. Then those cards are no longer available. It's print on demand, so anybody who orders it will get it. But after that 24 hours, it is no longer available. You can only buy it on the secondary market.
And I mean, some of these cards are gorgeous. There was an Avacyn that was like stunning. That, and you know, they're all, like you said, they're unique special order cards. They're very expensive. Has this set their newest Secret Lair featured characters from The Walking Dead? We've got Rick. We've got, I'm blinking on all their names. Negan, Michonne, Glenn. There's five total, right? And Daryl, right? Yeah, that's all five. Unique to this very expensive, very limited set. And, I mean, it's got the fan base freaking out fairly hard. I know that the professor over at Tolarian Community College has been releasing a string of videos on how to play other games like Dominion and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And like, look, if you're disenfranchised by this pretty transparent cash grab move by Wizards of the Coast, here's some other games that might interest you.
Yeah, so the big deal with this is that it's not that they're doing, you know, collector's edition of cards, right? Because that's what these have always been, are these collector's editions, the Secret Lairs. They generally range between $30 and $50 for, you know, 5 to 8 cards in these drops.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty cool idea for the art aspect of it. This is a limited edition. It's not a limited print, like you said. If you order it, you get it. You're not, right. Like, there's not a limited amount.
So normally I don't have any issue with the Secret Lair drops, right? Because, you know, who cares? It's a collectible card game. So there's whales out there who are going to pay this money. It's like any kind of, you know, it's like real life, skins in a game.
And as a little bit of a side, personally, I do have, maybe it's splitting hairs and, you know, we can guess at their intentions all day, but like there is a difference between releasing like a collectible edition and releasing like an alternate edition just a cash grab. And I think that's one of the big complaints is that this is becoming more and more frequent behavior on behalf of Wizards.
So yeah, the big issue with this Walking Dead collaboration that they've done is these cards are black bordered. Now most people who don't play Magic probably don't understand the significance of that, but what it means is that these cards are playable in permanent or, you know, legacy formats, any format that does not rotate the cards, you know, legal cards in and out. So these cards are, some of them are decent. You know, I wouldn't say any of them are game breaking, but they could see play in tournaments, in, you know, competitive decks in these formats.
No, they are becoming staples.
Right. Right. So we have these cards that are super limited. You can only get them. In fact, I think it looks like that you can still buy them. Their sale time ends on October 12th. But so it's limited to October 12th. As soon as that date passes, you will not be able to buy these cards anymore. But they have the potential to be used in these formats for a very long time, which means the price is just going to go up and up and up and up and up. So that's the big issue. I think that's what people are really pissed off about. Some people are nitpicking and saying, oh, the crossovers with pop culture media in this game takes me out of the fantasy, and I don't give a shit about that. Like, they did those Godzilla crossover cards.
But, I mean, you know, and that had me considering, too, that are those a problem? Is this just, like, a gross cash grab? What? Because there's Godzilla, there's Mothra, they've got Mecha Godzilla too. There's like a whole bunch, right, of them. There's a whole line.
So those are alternate cards. Like they have the name of the actual card they're based on in smaller print underneath the main, you know, card name. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, this is an alternate version of this actual card.
My point is, how do you obtain those alternate versions of this card?
In real life?
Or in Arena, because I've seen them in Arena. Both.
So yeah. On Arena, they were drops. Like, you could get them as winning, you know, win an event or different ways to get card styles that you can apply on Arena. It wasn't too bad. You could pay for, you know, pay gold or pay gems to get them if you really wanted them. But it didn't affect gameplay, right? Because you could get the regular version of the card without having to have to be the Godzilla version. But with these Walking Dead ones, they didn't do that. These are unique cards that are only available, you know, for the specific amount of time. They don't have alternate real versions that are exactly the same, but the name and the art is a little changed. Like, it's nothing like, you know, the Godzilla cards, because there's no, you know, corollary to it.
Yeah, so unless they give these named cards with this specific text outside of this set, then it just becomes an unfair advantage in ways. Or, I mean, like you said, if it's seeing tournament play and it's at such a limited print, then there are going to be some decks that are loaded with this that might be more winning decks. Might be. That's the thing, is it's not guaranteed that these are going to be staple cards. Like you, David said, they're becoming that, but I don't know. You guys would know better than I would. Are they really that good to be it?
I think most of the cards are pretty solid. I've definitely seen more hyped, worse cards before. You know what, right, I mean?
I think the biggest issue is the Rick card. There is a Legacy Humans deck, and this one is focuses mainly on humans. That was the one I could see becoming a problem. But yeah, I don't know how they could possibly do that. I mean, the big issue is that, one, a lot of these formats that are non-rotating are already prohibitively expensive to get into. And now you've got these cards that are going to be ultra limited in supply once the sale is over. And if any of them have the potential to become competitive cards, the cost is going to be absolutely astronomical in no time at all.
Yeah. I mean, but there's layers to being upset about this issue. You know, there's the aspect of Wizards exercising more control over the mini economy that their card game has created. And that doesn't necessarily, I mean, I don't like the prospect of that either.
So, and that's something they have to be really careful about too, frankly, because it's their official policy not to acknowledge the secondary market whatsoever.
Yeah. And
because if they do, suddenly it could be looked at as gambling. Right. And the fact that even before this Walking Dead one, these Secret Lair drops differed in price. You know, you could have one drop with five cards that was $30 and another drop, you know, a month later with five cards in it that they're charging $50 for. And it just so happens that the $50 one has cards that are worth more on the secondary market. Yeah. And I think somebody could absolutely make the argument that that is a tacit acknowledgement that the market exists and that maybe this is gambling in some way, which brings a whole lot of other regulations down on them.
Man, it's just a clusterfuck that I feel like they've stepped into here, and it's disappointing. I mean, was it you that said that Hasbro's leaning on them hard because they're like their only profitable product?
They're one of the only profitable segments for Hasbro right now.
And my comment to that is, so why the fuck are you going to try and ruin it? Why are you going to alienate your fan base? Some of them, these players have been playing this. When did this game start? 92?
93, yeah.
Seriously, since day one, we have players that, I mean, we've been to drafts before. We see kids ranging from like 12, 13 to dudes that are, what, 60-year-olds.
60-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole range of smells in those places.
But, you know, and a lot of these people are not going to take kindly to this sort of behavior from Wizards.
Right.
And it's some bold moves in the wake of their racist card purge as well. You know, you'd think they'd be looking more to placate their player base and keep them happy, toss them a bone here and there, you know, splash this Walking Dead stuff into whatever you want, but don't make it a limited time card like this. They've got to do something to save face, and they keep backtracking a bit.
The game is literally built on the premise of an infinite multiverse, and they couldn't just create a plane where, oh shit, there's like characters that could be similar to these cards and do the same thing that they did with the Godzilla cards. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a big problem. It just shows yet another way in which they're nickel and diming their customers.
Yep.
It's short term profits over long term growth.
This is a game that you buy loot crates. You buy real life loot boxes. You go to the store, you buy a box of loot boxes, you open it up, and you hope to get the cards that you want. You don't always get what you want in this game, like unless you're going to comic stores and buying singles, and you're not buying those for the same cost as a booster pack. So, you know, this is already a nickel and diamond business. So
right.
Let's not make it worse than it already is.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. All these little things that we're complaining about with this particular drop are not necessarily bad in their own right. It's just that you take them all together, and what happens next? Like, what are they going to do next? Are they going to go just a little bit further next time? It's. I feel like each time they do something like that, they're setting a new precedent that doesn't seem to be going in a consumer-friendly way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, what else you got for us on that magic or anything else Wizards of the Coast there, David?
I mean, just more bitching.
Just kind of seething.
Yeah.
We'll talk as this develops too. Like, I mean, might see enough flack that they might not be able to make these specific cards that limited of print. I don't know. It seems like a really bad idea to me, but
I mean, I guess they also
don't like to go back on their word.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. I'll end with this. Mark Rosewater maintains a blog where he posts and he communicates with the community, and
he's the lead game designer.
Yeah, sorry. You guys aren't super nerds. Like, not everyone knows these names. Anyway, Mark Rosewater, lead game designer, he posts on this blog, and he had a pretty heartfelt post yesterday, day before, about, you know, that was another layer of the community being upset, was the response from Wizards afterwards was a little callous. And so Mark Rosewater was like, you know what, I'm going to make an effort to really see this from your guys' perspective, and we're going to talk this through. And Mark Rosewater has been very good at communicating with the community before, so I believe that he's going to keep to that promise. And so we will see how this situation develops, because I don't want to see probably my favorite game go down this pretty caustic path.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. We'll keep an eye on them. We said that last time, like I said, with the racist card shit. So hopefully they start on the upswing soon. That would be good to see. But yeah, moving on from Magic, have you guys checked out any Star Wars Squadrons yet?
I have not. I spent my money on Mafia.
Yeah.
But I've watched a little bit of gameplay. It looks pretty awesome. Did you pick it up?
I did. I mean, I picked up this flight stick, so I felt like I kind of had to. And, you know, only $40. I was thinking of waiting on EA Play, but that's not coming. I was reading more on what you had touched on, I think, last week when we were talking about this, that EA Play will be releasing on Xbox with the Series X release on November 10th, right?
Right.
But it's not going to be coming to PC until maybe December is what they're saying. And then I was also seeing, this is a weird thing with Squadrons that I'll have to look in on, but I read a couple of things that they were offering it on EA Play, but it was only like a 10-hour demo or something like that. So that's pretty fucked up for them to do. I don't know. Like, it's an EA game. You can't just put up for 10 hours on EA Play. That's pretty shitty.
I mean, EA Play has always been like that a little bit, where they don't, you know, it doesn't get the new releases day one, like Microsoft does with their first party titles to Game Pass.
Yeah. I wonder how much influence Microsoft will have on them joining up with them too.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, so they always, you know, their marquee releases and stuff, they don't generally drop to EA Play right away. So my guess would be that they'll put the full Squadrons game up within a year of release.
Yeah, this one not being a full $60 title, I kind of expected it to just be injected into EA Play right away.
Yeah, it would have been a good selling point. Like,
yeah, big time. Yeah, for sure. So
is there a reason why it's not $60? Why they priced it at $40?
I was curious about that too.
I honestly don't know.
Because, I mean, knowing EA, the only thing that I feel in my cockles is they're just kind of like buttering us up for future massive microtransactions. And I feel like this game could definitely be.
That's what you would think, but they've already said that they're not going to do that with this game. And it's okay. Launched, and they're not in this game already. So, you know, if they start just throwing microtransactions in there, I gotta say, you know, at least they kept some of their promises. Like, that's good on EA. They said no microtransactions. They gave us a game. There's a bunch of cosmetics in it for both your ships, your pilots. Like, inside of your cockpit, you can hang little dangly things and put bobbleheads and shit. So it's like cool little things that you don't have to pay real money for. You just got to play the game to do it. So good on EA for doing that. So if they do start throwing microtransactions at it, I can't really hate on that, because they're not there on launch like they did promise us. And the game is actually good. The campaign is a little like the gameplay is fun, but especially on the New Republic side, the characters are just flat and boring and dog shit. They all suck ass. Like, I didn't care what they had to say at all. I ended up just like stopping talking to them. I talked to more of the Imperials, but I just stopped talking to them and started just flying missions, going to briefing, get into the ship, going to briefing. And every once in a while, one of the characters looks up. It's like, hey, you got a chance to talk. And it's like, nope, fuck you. And I'm going to briefing. But other than that, the game's great. It is a lot of fun. I don't need the little side conversations to blow me away with awesome story. I need the gameplay to be really good in this dogfighting type battle. And they did a really great job with it. All the different ships have their own little things with weapons, shields, speed, hull, like everything is a little bit different with each of the ships on both sides, Imperial and New Republic. So there's some good customization. There's a lot of great gameplay. It feels really good on the flight stick. I did have to change some settings with my yaw and the throttle and stuff, but it was fairly easy to do. And I got it all set up. And I got to say, I've played games similar to this on mouse and keyboard and a controller and stuff. And this adds to that immersion like tenfold, being able to throttle up and throttle down and just all my turning capabilities and stuff are amazing. It is a bit to get used to, but having a flight stick is a big plus in a game like this.
Yeah, I'll bet. Honestly, I was thinking about picking up a flight stick. I know we talked about that with Flight Sim, but that was one of the reasons sold out. That's one of the reasons I've kind of held off on Squadrons a little bit is, I'm sure it'll be fine on a controller, but I think it'd be pretty cool with a flight stick.
And it is. And I've got friends that are playing on keyboard, mouse, and on controller. And everybody seems to be enjoying it on their own specific controls. But yes, I'd say on flight stick, it is amped up by quite a bit. But yeah, my buddy Scott was asking me about the flight stick that I was getting, that I had gotten. And what I would recommend, and our other friend Chansey has one that he recommended. I recommended this T-Flight Thrustmaster. The T-Flight HOTUS one, the Thrustmaster. that's the one I have. So I was recommending that. Scott and Chansey recommended another one, and he looked them up right away, and they're still sold out. On my Pilot store, they even have a little disclaimer saying that they are still ordering in stock. They're just really slow because everybody wanted Flight Sim, and that game exploded. So good luck finding these flight sticks. If you happen to see one at your local game shop or something, pick it up because they're rare right now.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, that's all I got on my list. Oh, except for Fall Guys Season 2 this week. I am really excited.
What did I see about Double Fame?
So there's Double Fame
right now.
Until the 8th, the day of Season 2's release, you can get Double Fame. So it's going on right now. If you're still not level 40 in that battle pass, you can try and get there in these last few days. But yeah, Season 2, if you haven't seen the videos, check them out. It's all medieval themed. I'm really fucking excited for this season. I think it's going to be chaos. I kind of stopped playing Fall Guys there for the past, I don't know, a couple weeks or so, but I'm ready to get back into it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to try to max out the pass like I did for Season 1.
Yeah, for sure. I hope it's free again. I really, really hope they don't change their structure on that.
Yeah, this will be the time, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, that's the last of my list. What are we looking at over in news with Spencer?
A couple of little things. There's been rumor about this, but a little bit more rumor fire. A retailer online accidentally leaked the Nintendo Switch Pro a little bit, at least a little more confirmation that it exists and is probably coming next year. They accidentally added it as like a filter function, I think. Like, so look for accessories that are compatible with the Nintendo Switch, or and then they had a checkbox for the Nintendo Switch Pro. It's been taken down already. There's still no like official word, but it's nice to see some extra confirmation that it's probably happening soon.
So I've heard rumors of a Switch 2. Is that the same thing? Are the Switch Pro and Switch 2 going to be? Do we know?
That's what I've heard. Yeah, that it's basically just an upgraded version of the Switch. Think like, you know, Series X versus Xbox One X. Like play the same games, just better hardware.
Okay.
So that's what it's looking like. But like I said, there's no official announcement or anything. We'd have to wait until then. But I think that's probably the most likely outcome.
first knee-jerk reaction just based on the name is same console, upgraded hardware. I probably wouldn't expect anything too revolutionary right now. I mean, when did the Switch come out? How old is that console now?
2017? 2016? Yeah. 2017? Something like that. It's been a few years now. I will say that don't ever take Nintendo. Don't ever like look at the most logical outcome of their naming conventions, because the Wii U sold like shit because they named it the Wii U and everyone thought it was just another Wii.
Yes. I don't know. And Xbox is on that same note.
They're a little better about it, but not by much.
There's been some memes about like how many disappointed kids there are going to be when they wake up to a Xbox One X instead of a Series X, because like you know that their mom or dad is just going to be like, yeah, the one with the X, the One X, the X One, the Xbox, the X One Box X, X One Box, Box X One.
There was like apparently a huge bump in sales for the One X on the pre-order date.
Yeah,
so the Series X, like on Amazon, there's the sales for the One X went up by like 800%.
That's fucking funny.
And PlayStation's just sitting over there like PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4. Like this is very hard easy, guys. Right? Why don't we just do this?
It'd be really funny if next generation they throw us a curveball and they're just like PlayStation Yellow.
I could get down on a PlayStation Yellow.
I think I would throw down on PlayStation Yellow.
Did we do it? Did we solve console wars?
I think we solved it. I think PlayStation Yellow won. You just won.
Man, I'm gonna cancel my Series X pre-order.
Until PC 2 comes out, I'm going PlayStation Yellow.
On the Xbox Series X note, there is a reporter or a reviewer, I guess, who got his hands on one and says that it runs ridiculously hot. Like hotter than any console has ever run. Kind of hoping that that's a one-off thing, because that could be a big issue. But he said even while running like backwards compatible games, like not under full load or anything, this thing is like burns you. So a little worried about that, but I'll hold judgment until we get some confirmation and stuff.
Yeah, but, that's not so that's
something
news
to keep an eye on. Yeah. I am a little glad I paid the extra $50 for the 3-year warranty now, because Everyone knows that heat kills electronics.
You learned your lesson there. So
yeah,
it is good.
So we'll see what happens with that. Something to keep an eye on. Again, it's only been one report for it so far. No real confirmation. What else? Cyberpunk 2077 went gold.
Gold, baby. I saw that.
Although, if you're not familiar with that, it basically means that it is feature complete. Essentially, someone could buy this game, never download a day one patch or update, and be able to play through it with, even though there'd be some bugs, they could play the entire game and complete it. So that's pretty cool.
I'm glad you explained that for our listeners. I definitely knew what it meant, but I'm glad that you explained that for people out there that might not.
For all those people who might not have known.
Yeah.
That like one guy sitting in over around here. But yeah, that's really great news, especially because recently they were also talking about CD Projekt Red was that they were putting the whole team on 6-day work weeks, and everybody was like, oh, it's crunch time, I guess. And it's like, yeah, that's every game develop major game like this, the developers are going to go into crunch time. In this last month or so.
Yeah, the real issue was that in the past, CD Projekt Red has stated that they were done with crunch on any of their. They weren't going to do that. They were going to have respect for their developers and their playtesters and all of that, and they weren't going to go to crunch, and they were going to try to get rid of that. And then, of course, they've got a game coming out in a month, and it's crunch time.
Yeah, they got to crunch it. I mean, and you might call it cruel coming from, I don't know, from EA or Blizzard or something, but these days anyway. But I know even in like the crunch time in Blizzard's heyday, these developers wanted to do that as well. It might be grueling and stressful and terrible, but they're wanting to develop this game and put out something that they want to put out as well. Like they're working their asses off for a great game and a great company. So at least it's CD Projekt Red that I know they are actually taking care of their people, and they're not going to go through a bunch of big layoffs like right before crunch time or something.
Yeah, for sure. That's about it. The only other thing is there was I don't know if it was a full announcement, but or a leak, but there will be a Bethesda collection coming out for the Series X, optimized for the new console, with remasters Dishonored, Prey, and at least one or two of the Wolfenstein games.
No Skyrim?
I really hope not. I've got it on like 12 platforms by now.
I was gonna just Skyrim comes like downloaded onto everything you buy.
No, I'm actually a little bit surprised. I was waiting for you to say Skyrim, and I was gonna be like, that crazy bastard found a way to do it one more time.
He did it again. I'll fucking do it again. Like
any electronic you buy these days just comes with Skyrim pre-downloaded. Like
Skyrim.
You get that new iWatch that there's Skyrim on it for sure.
Did you see that guy that got the original Doom to play on a pregnancy test?
Yeah.
What? It's a fucking what?
Yeah. Programmed.
How the fuck? Okay. My question is why are pregnancy tests advanced enough to play? Why? I'm so confused.
Because he could, David. Because he could.
I need to look this up. I've got so many questions.
It's pretty cool. It's really cool. But give it another decade and somebody will get Skyrim to play on a pregnancy test.
I had a couple of other little news nuggets. Shadowlands is seeing a delay. They just came out and said that this past week they will not be releasing that this month. And we're probably looking at least another couple of months. I'm thinking we won't see this until they're saying before 2021, but we shall see. Like they're crunching this one down. I'm not too surprised. There's a lot of people pissed off, but I don't really get the pissed off. Like the people that are pissed off are the same people that are pissed off that BFA sucks ass. So if you want this game to not suck ass, then like, and you're sitting there bitching and moaning about Battle for Azeroth, like this one's going to be better. You got to let them make it better. So
yeah,
this is like, a good thing that they're delaying it.
Yeah. You don't get to have it both ways.
Right.
These are the same people that just want to bitch about whatever they could, anything, literally anything. They'll find a way to bitch about it.
Ugh, Spencer smells so bad.
Another little thing is Baldur's Gate 3. Just hit early access today. So you can actually get on Steam, buy that, and play through early access. I watched a little bit of some streams on it today, and it's looking pretty fucking good, I gotta say. So check out Baldur's Gate 3 if you're into that kind of shit.
Oh no, I just Googled it, and there's an Ars Technica article that said, I played 15 hours of Baldur's Gate 3 early access, and I want them back.
Well, I feel like that's every first article I see anymore about every game. Squadrons, I wanted to kind of read a couple of things before I pulled the trigger. The first thing I read was like, this game sucks ass, and it just like described the game, and I was like, well, that's exactly what they said they were gonna make. Like, and what did you want out of this game?
Funny enough, when you guys were talking about Mafia, I went and looked that up, and there was an article. The very first article I saw about that was shit talking Mafia.
So, I don't know, maybe I'm just a sucker for video games and I just like them, you know. I like playing video games and I don't want to bitch about every moment I spend in them. So
you're a loser with poor taste.
I am,
but that helps you enjoy life better, so is that a bad thing?
Definitely.
Then yes. All right, so follow us on Twitter. Check out our Discord. Check out our website, 3guys1up.com. We are 3guys1up, if you did not know that already.
And we love you.
And yeah, much. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. We love you. Long time. See you. I gotta bleep that out. See you next
week. Don't bleep that out. Pussy's here.